Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Oh, baby. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the 29th of September 2021. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the Derek Hunter Podcast, the very appropriately named Derek Hunter Podcast. I am your host. I'm your Mr. Rourke for the next hour-ish. Appreciate you listening, tuning in, telling a friend, spreading the word and all that good stuff. Don't forget about the Week in Effin' Review, the special subscription-only show at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast every Saturday morning at midnight. Well, yeah, Saturday, it's Friday midnight, Saturday, whatever it is. Right at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday, the first minute of Saturday, it goes live. And that is the place, it's only $5 a month, and that is where you can enter to win signed books. I'm looking at the pile of books on my floor right now. And there are other ones that didn't get in the picture. I might give away that Debbie Harry signed book. It's her autobiography. Debbie Harry, the lead singer from Blondie. Not a conservative or anything, but she's famous. Some people might like that. I think I have two copies of it, whatever the case is. I can probably throw that into the mix for the future, too. And every once in a while, we'll do big books as I get into my pile of books, my boxes of books. I've got several copies of certain books that are just really super cool. So we'll see. We get enough people entering and we can really up the stakes quite a bit. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. You can find all the rules and explanations on how to enter. And you guys are already entering at a record pace. So it's going to be wildly disappointing for most of you because you're not going to get, there's only going to be one winner this week. So sorry about that. Also, don't forget about Life Change Tea. Go to getthetea.com. Cleans you out. I could use it right now. I'm waiting for my shipment. I forgot. I reordered late. But you go to getthetea.com. Cleans you out. Rips you clean, ladies and gentlemen. And for that, you then find you have more energy. That filth is out of your body, which is great. And then your body is free, unclogged, uncluttered to absorb more of the nutrition from the food that you drink. All the vitamins and minerals and everything else, even the vitamins and minerals you take as pills. You're like, your body can't get to all of it by the time it's pushed through you because that's just how it works. Well, you can solve that problem with Life Change Tea. It cleans you out, and then your body has plenty of time, plenty of square footage or square inchage to absorb that nutrition from the food that you eat. Go to getthetea.com, choose your flavor, check it out. They got great sales on everything there. Then you throw it in your cart, and you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K. You can click apply, you get free fast shipping on top of everything else. It's win-win, because you can't lose with Life Change Tea. All right, let's get on with the program, shall we? I'm looking, you know, sitting there, we got a lot of audio to play today and all that stuff. And then I'm looking at Twitter, and there's a story from the Daily Caller. And it says, they tweet out, Tom Brady reveals what he'll be thinking about when he plays the Patriots. His comments might surprise fans. And I'm like, first of all, why do you think about these sorts of things? And secondly, I just assumed that he'd think about winning, since that's what he does. That and, you know, winning and his hot wife, like one of the two, probably both, maybe both simultaneously. But that's what I would be thinking. That and maybe my hundreds of millions of dollars if I were Tom Brady. Then I would go, why am I putting my brain at risk? Why am I still playing football after all? No one's ever going to get into 10 Super Bowls and win 7 of them. So you can probably safely retire. I'd rather spend time with my hot wife, my kids, and my hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm just missing the hundreds of millions of dollars, by the way. If you want to get rid of me, collect hundreds of millions of dollars, and you will never hear from me again. I won't be playing football until I'm 50 years old going, you know what? I'm sure I'll be fine with all the concussions I've had. Anyway, there is a lot to get to today that is not Tom Brady related. I don't even care about football, but you're sitting there and you're going, what will Tom Brady be thinking? Tom Brady will be thinking about this really good macaroni and cheese recipe that he's just discovered in the latest issue of Good Housekeeping. And that's what that would shock fans. There's no question about that. You're reading, he goes, what? Thinking about playing checkers and various strategies for checkers. Like, checkers is chess for dumb people. And I say that as somebody who doesn't play chess. I don't know how to play chess. I sort of know how it works, but I'm one of the dumb people, even though I don't play checkers either. At least not yet. Kids haven't discovered that. Little young for that, but still. Sitting around. What is Tom Brady thinking about? It's not you. That's the first thing you got to learn. Tom Brady sitting around thinking about anything. It's not you. So why are you sitting around thinking about Tom Brady? Anyway, I just thought that was amusing. Okay, now let's talk about the news of the day and the law of unintended consequences. We have this situation in our country where our politicians, from the president on down, all Democrats, by the way, there aren't really any Republicans who are doing this because it's stupid, who are imposing mandates. Vaccine mandate. You must have a vaccine or else you lose your job. In any way, shape, or form, if you are in a position where the government has a say over your job, a say over your life, and this is a great argument for never being in a position where the government has a say over your life, but even in positions of employment, although I understand it, because you sit there and you go, well, you get a pension. You get job security with government. I understand that. But the trade-off is you're at the whims of government. You're at the mercy of government. And nobody should be at the mercy of government. Nobody wants to be at the mercy of government. But we're seeing a situation where the heroes, they are the heroes amongst us, right? That's what we were told. These are the best and brightest, our heroes. The first responders, the frontline workers, the doctors, the nurses. They always lumped in teachers in there. Teachers were never, I didn't consider them frontline workers. They were working from their couch. So the couch, unless somehow the couch was their front line, I don't think they were of them as frontline workers. Most, not all. So don't send angry letters. Send the angry letters to somebody else. But most, but not all of the people were not working. Well, not working. They were working from home. They were working remotely, which is fine. But to pretend that somehow that means that you are risking your lives the same as a doctor or nurse or even a grocery store clerk seems like a bit of a stretch. Now they're the enemy. Well, not all of them are the enemy. The people who have not gotten vaccinated, who've not gotten the jab, as they say, they are the enemy and they must be destroyed. They're being fired. They're being let go. There are going to be lawsuits galore. You can't fire a federal government employee for gross incompetence. It takes forever. It's a long, arduous process to fire somebody for just cause. So firing somebody for not getting a vaccine when other vaccines aren't required for those jobs, I think you're going to have a tough time in court. It's so much so that Joe Biden hasn't actually finalized the rules that he set forth a couple of weeks ago. OSHA hasn't released the rules, as far as I've seen, for that would sort of pseudo-legalize his push for vaccine mandates for and condition of employment. So he hasn't even done that yet. Tells you something about how difficult it is in trying to figure out a way to make this happen, because it probably won't happen. So you end up in a situation where people are being fired, people are being laid off, people are being let go, and there's no plan B. If 20% of your workforce at a hospital is unvaccinated, and you've set an arbitrary deadline of, September 30th. for them to at least get their first dose of their first shot. And people haven't moved very quickly on that. What are you doing? What do you do? USA Today has a story headline: hospitals, nursing homes brace for staff shortages amid vaccine mandates. Now, doesn't that seem a little bit weird? These people were just 20 minutes ago our heroes, the best among us, better than you, certainly better than me, no question about that. And now they're being let go because of a choice they're making. Whether or not they have natural immunity is not a factor in this. USA Today reports hospitals and nursing homes around the U.S. are bracing for worsening staff shortages because, you know, this is the middle of a pandemic that hits nursing homes and hospitals pretty hard. So it's probably already kind of difficult to find people willing to walk into what they could view as a petri dish. Like, oh man, I'm afraid to go. People are afraid to go to the grocery store. People are afraid to go to the movies. Some people. So working in a nursing home isn't going to be what, yeah, but I don't want to go to the grocery store, but I will go work in a nursing home. I will go to work in the emergency room, not to mention the years and years of schooling you have to do, you have to engage in order to be qualified to hold these jobs. With ultimatums, they continue, taking effect this week in states such as New York, California, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, the fear is that some employees will quit or let themselves be fired or suspended rather than get the vaccine. Quote, we are concerned about how it will exacerbate an already quite serious staffing problem. California Hospital Association spokesperson Jan Emerson Shea said, adding the organization absolutely supports the state's vaccine requirements. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Please beat me. Come on. Go ahead. Whip me. Go ahead. Take another one. New York State, the governor up there, the newly minted governor, she's been governor all of 20 minutes, she has said that she will block unemployment benefits for people who are fired for not getting the jab. You imagine that? Imagine being that vindictive. You haven't been elected to jack squat, Kathy Hochul. You got the job because the pervert before you was forced to resign, and you walk in there like you're I just got 90% of the vote, and I will tell everybody how it is and how they must be. This is sick. Now, what's funny is that governor, Kathy Hochul, the New York governor, she announced yesterday, we've got a clip of it I'll play for you here. She announced yesterday she's got a plan because this is a very real concern. There's Newsday has a story about these shortages. There are stories of shortages. They already had personnel shortages in healthcare across the country to begin with. So you end up in a situation where if you're driving people away, firing people, if you fire 20% of your workforce, and in some places, some hospitals, it's 40 to 60%, they'll all be out of a job in like a day. They can't be replaced. It's not like the private sector has a whole bunch of doctors and nurses and hospital administrators and accountants just sitting around going, oh, maybe I'll play some more Xbox. I don't know. There's nothing really to do. There's no jobs. And then suddenly there's an opening and hundreds of thousands of people flood into this. It's not like you can stand outside the high schools and go, hey, kid, you want a job? We're looking for somebody to come in and treat COVID patients. That's not how it works, not how we would accept it working. So they're putting themselves, they're painting themselves into a corner rather stupidly. So the governor of New York has what she thinks is a solution. I don't know how well it'll work. She's going to send. Now, pay attention. She signed at the beginning of this. She says she signed an executive order giving her the power to order something to happen. Like, you sign an executive order to give yourself power. It sounds wildly dangerous to me that a governor would think to do this. But then firing everybody in a profession who won't comply with your whims and wills and wishes is also wildly dangerous to me. Anywho, listen to New York Governor Kathy Hochul talk about she's going to bring in the National Guard to fill the hole.
And we'll be nation leading with our mandate, which strikes at midnight tonight, when everyone is expected in a hospital in the state of New York or a healthcare facility to have been vaccinated. I will be signing an executive order to give me the emergency powers necessary to address the shortages where they occur. That's going to allow me to deploy the National Guard, who are medically trained, deploy people who've been retired, who may have had a license lapse, bring in people from elsewhere. That is not my first position, though, my friends. My desire is to have the people who've been out there continue to work in their jobs.
I'm going to sign an executive order giving myself the emergency power. That should scare the hell out of everybody right there. I'm going to sign an executive order giving me emergency power. Oh, all right. Well, what could possibly go wrong? Who would ever think that that could ever be abused? Of course not. No way. But she's going to bring in the National Guard. Now, is the National Guard secretly doctors and nurses? Is that it? Doctors and nurse doctors say, you know what? I only need 3 weekends a month to play golf. I'll give Uncle Sam for minimal pay relative to my doctor's pay. I'll give Uncle Sam that other Saturday of the month. The wife and kids can go and enjoy the country club, but I shall serve my country. There's some, no doubt, but enough? No. And they're going to go, we're going to get other people whose licenses have lapsed. Now, I don't know about you, but is a doctor who can't be bothered to renew their medical license the doctor you want practicing medicine on you? Maybe in a pinch. Maybe in a pinch. Or people from elsewhere. For doctors to practice in other states, it takes some paperwork. It takes some time. You can't just move, drive across the state line and go, you know what, I'm going to put my shingle up here and I'm going to start treating patients that day. Can't do it. There's all sorts of hoops and paperwork you've got to go through. Now, all of these things together may, I doubt it, but they may be enough to at least stem the hemorrhaging in the medical profession in New York. But it won't be enough immediately. You heard her. Midnight tonight, you're SOL. You're out of a job. Well, guess what doesn't happen at midnight? They don't shut the doors of the hospital and say, all right, well, we got 8 hours off. Let's do an inventory. Let's do a deep cleaning. No, hospitals and nursing home facilities are opened 24/7. People go in all the time. They need to be staffed. If you suddenly get rid of 20, 40, 60% of the staff, depending on the facility, and you're now announcing that you're signing an executive order giving you the power to start filling those positions, guess what you did? You're about a month too late. All of the paperwork government requires, all the verification, you can't just walk in and say, oh, by the way, governor, I'm a doctor. I'm a retired doctor, or I let my medical license lapse. Whatever. I used to practice medicine over in Connecticut. I'm in New York now. I'm here to help. Somebody's got to check that out. It would be rare, but there are insane people who fake being doctors all the time who would go, you know what, I'm crazy, I've got a mental imbalance, whatever it is, I feel like having some fun, I'm going to go over there and pretend to be a doctor. I've seen all the episodes of Chicago Hope. I've seen every episode of Grey's Anatomy and ER. I think I'm ready for this. There will be people, not many, not even a handful, but enough. And government doesn't work that way anyway. They don't just go, well, all right, we trust you. Come on in. So what she's talking about up in New York, which is going to be one of the states hardest hit, a bunch of other states are going to be hit, but New York will be hardest hit. What she's talking about as a solution is something she should have implemented the second she came into office if she was going to go down this road. But Democrats are so flying by the seat of their pants. They set the deadline. And then they said, oh, crap. What are the consequences of that deadline? Joe Biden said, get vaccinated or else. Joe Biden hasn't moved on his federal vaccine mandate. But the sheeple that are Democrats, the people who do what they're told, unquestioningly go along. They go, Joe Biden said vaccine mandate too. Joe Biden said he's going to fire people who don't. All right, well, we'll fire them too. Let's just say we'll give them a month. We'll give them a month to figure it out. All right. What could possibly go wrong? And then you sit there and you do nothing. I don't know if they thought that rather stupidly, that if they threaten people's jobs, everybody will go, well, all right, then I'll take the shot. That was stupid if that's what they thought, but that seems to be how they are governing. In reality, they're shooting themselves in the foot. You talk about a shot. They're shooting themselves in their foot, and they're shooting themselves in their foot after they've already stuck their foot in their mouths because they talked before they thought. They reacted. Joe Biden said something. We must go along with it. At least Joe Biden had people around him with the sense to go, make the threat, Joe, but don't put a dead look. If we go too far, we're going to be out of, we're going to have legal problems. We're going to have difficulty getting people to, you know, the Social Security Administration alone might have some. Let's just make the statement and then slow walk it. With the military, they're plowing ahead, but that's a different circumstance than the private sector. It's just funny watching these people scramble. I'll sign an executive order that will fix this problem. Well, the problem you created? Congratulations, you're a hell of a political leader. You are addressing a problem wholly inadequately that you alone created. That's the Democratic Party, really, in a nutshell. They create a problem, they go, only we can fix the problem we created. You know, I'd rather vote for a party that doesn't create the problems in the first place. That's just me. I'm old-fashioned that way. But the law of unintended consequences rolls on. I mean, it is worth noting, as we watch these people ready to be thrown on the pits, the altar of liberalism, that it was just a blink of an eye ago that they were heroes. They were the best and brightest. And there was talk in Congress, we must give them rewards. We must give them extra money. They are keeping the economy afloat. They are keeping the country afloat with it. And I think doctors make a pretty good living, but I'd have been in favor of giving nurses something and grocery store clerks and truck drivers in particular. Would, because, you know, it doesn't matter how many people show up at the grocery store to work if there's no trucks delivering this stuff. But they were all heroes. All heroes. And now the federal government is saying, okay, well, we're going to carve out these ones are not so heroes anymore. They need to get the shot, get the jab, or you're out of luck. To hell with you. You don't matter to us. Which strikes me as pretty massive ingratitude. Ask me. I can be an ungrateful SOB, as long with the best of them. But on this one, I'm pretty sure I would remember to, on my Christmas card mailing list, to send something to the doctor that saved my life, the nurse who treated me, or my family members. I'm pretty sure that I would do that if it was in the midst of a pandemic and they were risking their lives to protect me, as was happening, as we were told at the beginning of this. But instead, now, a year later, they're like, do what we tell you. Hey, hero, we've canceled the order for your cape because I don't think you're going to need it because we're going to take your job away from you. Can you imagine that? And then you have to sit there and wonder, how serious is this pandemic if you're willing to fire a bunch of frontline workers? You know, they don't think about that. Maybe most people don't, but that's why I'm here. That's why I'm paid the little bucks to sit there and go, wait a second. So the pandemic's over, you can afford to fire these doctors? Or what is more important, people being treated medically, taken care of, or your vanity posturing for political power? Well, with Democrats, you know the answer. The answer is always the same. Politics über alles, said in its original German, for effect and accuracy. The left has spent the last year going, those people are the heroes. They're the best among us. And now they did concerts for them. They did all sorts of things. Oh, that's honor. I think there was some big concert where they only allowed frontline workers to attend. Yeah, it's crap music, so who cares? But it was like they were the greatest human beings ever. And now a year later, they're like, if you don't get the shot, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. And of course, these decisions are being made by bureaucrats. I want to play you this audio. Now, granted, it's from Canada, but I suspect we'll find out that we've been doing something similar here because progressive stupidity is progressive stupidity. Geographically, the geographic location is not all that relevant in the grand scheme of things. But this is the Alberta chief health officer, a woman named Dina Hinshaw. And she's talking about, going forward, how they're going to count COVID cases. Now, of course, if you look at the data, and we're not out of the woods as far as COVID cases go, but cases are less relevant than hospitalizations and deaths to be honest with you. Cases is just a number that's really easy to use to scare people. And the people who want to scare people pretty easily are now losing that. They're losing that. The numbers are going down, not to zero. Will probably go down pretty low, though. But if you look at it, they're trending down. Maybe this thing will come in waves and be cyclical forever. It seems like COVID will probably be here for a very long time, at least. But it's on the downslope right now in the vast majority. If you notice, have you heard anything about Florida lately? There's a really easy way to find out if COVID is on the up tick or on the downtick. And it's whether or not you heard of Florida. Because even if it's, you know, every person in New York is dropping dead from COVID, the media won't report on it. But if Florida sees a 3% increase in the number of cases, then all presses will be stopped and everybody will go absolutely crazy. Back about a month ago, you could not turn on the television without hearing about Florida. That was when their average number of cases over 7 days was above 20,000. Now their average number of cases per day is under, well, it's 7,303 as of today, which is significantly lower than 21,000, 22,000, depending. Actually, in certain days, it went up to 24,000, almost 25,000. So the 7-day average being that low shows you the curve is coming down. It's not an anomaly. It is over time. You can follow the bar graph. That's happening elsewhere. It's happening in Texas. It's happening everywhere. You've been told that Republicans are getting people killed by not imposing vaccine mandates, lockdowns, and mask mandates and everything else. They're allowing people to be free. It's also happening throughout the SEC region, for those of you who are college football fans, where Dr. Fauci, President Fauci, disapprovingly said, why are these people not wearing masks at these college games? Well, because they don't have to. Georgia's rate is actually, the 7-day rate is in half from its high, actually less than half, and it's high from a month ago. August 31st, their 7-day average was 9,244 cases per day. Today, it's 4,094. That's great. It's great. It's good news. It also means that COVID will stop being such a big news story because, by the way, the numbers are inching up, not dramatically, but inching up a little bit in the Northeast, in the Democrat-controlled areas. Doesn't mean they're going to go up any further, but I guarantee you, if they do go up, you won't hear about it. When Oregon was setting examples, for example, or setting records, for example, they didn't hear about it. Didn't matter that Oregon was setting all-time highs in cases and deaths, in hospitalizations, the trifecta. You didn't get reported on there. Why? Because the Democrats control Oregon and their governor is a bisexual, allegedly, although she's married to a dude. And that's super duper progressive. So you can't do that. Hawaii, same thing. Cases went up. The governor's telling people, don't come to Hawaii. Don't do it. Don't come to Hawaii. And I said, yeah, no problem. I once had a chance to, I had an offer of a free trip to Hawaii. It had to do with some sort of political conference. And like, oh, you go there and you learn about this thing, but you get like a week in Hawaii and the thing is only 3 days long. And I'm like, A, I don't like the warm weather. B, Hawaii never, aside from checking it off the list of states that I've been to, Hawaii doesn't have any interest for me whatsoever. And like a 20-hour flight or 10-hour flight, whatever, no interest. I'm going to be on a plane that long, I'm going to Ireland, period. So I passed on it. Plus, I thought it was kind of unethical. So I passed on it. But Hawaii, basically, the governor's saying, please don't come. Please don't come. You can just bring in more COVID. It's never bringing more COVID. COVID is there. New Zealand is a prison island. New Zealand, you can't go to New Zealand. You can't get out of New Zealand. And New Zealand, like, we've got no COVID cases. We're here. Oh, wait, there's an outbreak over there. All right, now we've got no COVID cases. We're here as we solve the problem. Oh, wait, there's another outbreak over there. And it's like, nobody's coming or going. That means it's here. That means it's moving around pretty easily, pretty freely. Maybe you should spend some time trying to focus on the people who are most likely to be hit hardest with it, right? Maybe the elderly, protecting the elderly, the morbidly obese, do that. Maybe encouraging everybody to walk. There's a study about the pandemic and obesity in children. We've seen something like a 50% increase in body mass index over the course of the pandemic. And you're just sitting there going, what in the hell? How does that happen? And you go, well, a lot of people have locked their kids in their house. Can't go to school, can't go to the playground, can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other thing. And guess what they can do? They can sit on their ass and play video games. You've got some of the best, fittest thumbs in the world. But unless you're going to hitchhike across the USA or they're remaking Happy Days and you're going to be the Fonzie role, the fittest thumb in the world isn't going to do you a damn bit of good. When the rest of your body has a gravitational pull and you're sweat Crisco. So, yeah, maybe there's a problem here. Maybe you should get the kids off their butts. And we try to take the kids to the playground every chance we get to do play dates and run around and, good Lord, play hide and seek. Let me just tell you that 4 and 2-year-olds suck at hide and go seek. They're terrible at it. No offense. They're probably listening. They won't know that I'm talking about them, but they're terrible at it. They go to the same place all the time until you go someplace. They'll follow you. But in general, they also like make noises when you're looking around and pretending not to be able to find them. They go blah, 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 blah. And you're missing the whole point. It's to not be found. But anyway, yeah, get your kids off their asses. Get your kids outside. Get your kids doing something. But instead, we have public health officials, again, see, bringing it back, professional here, ladies and gentlemen, bringing it back to Alberta Chief Health Officer Dina Hinshaw. She wants to scare the hell out of people. She wants people to have the hell scared out of them. And so she announced, and I don't know if she intended to do this or not, she announced that in Alberta, Canada at least, and if it's in Alberta, it's going to be everywhere. And it's probably here in the United States, too. It's just that people are smart enough not to announce it to the world. That Dina Hinshaw announced that if you are sick, if you're home from work, you're home from school, you're whatever, you're not feeling well at all, and you don't take a COVID test, or you won't, you refuse to take a COVID test, they're going to assume you got COVID and just count it as a case anyway. And you want to, you do this when you want to pad the numbers. You don't do this, you don't even think this, when you want to get an accurate count, when you want to know what's actually going on. You don't even, this would be absurd. It will take your data pool, which I'm sure was already polluted, but it'll take your data pool and you'll knowingly be polluting it. It's like taking your drinking water and pouring the septic tank into it, going, well, you know what, it's all liquid. It's all liquid, it all counts. No. If people don't want to be tested, you don't count them. You maybe make a separate category if you really want to, but you don't just roll them in there. You know why? Because you'll never be able to roll them out. There'll be no way to differentiate between somebody who actually had COVID and somebody who just wanted a me day. Listen to her make this announcement. It's a little bit of a long clip because she makes it twice. And it's bizarre that anybody would do this and that an entire country or an entire province, at least, would tolerate this, would go, all right, well, that makes good sense. If somebody won't take it, they must be hiding something. Like they don't want the government all in their business. They don't like the idea of the government probing their nasal cavities. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just nobody's business but their own. Doesn't matter. We're counting it. Here she is.
So we do have that framework where schools, if they see that there are an increased number of children who are ill because of respiratory illness, again, or teachers or staff, they can work with Alberta Health Services. And in some ways, that is adding an additional layer of protection, because if individuals choose to not get tested for COVID but are home with an illness, they're now counted in the list as being part of that outbreak. And so it's less dependent on needing a test to be a part of identifying where there is an issue. We are, as I mentioned, working with education to determine if there are any adjustments that need to be made to this framework. But there are no other settings right now, aside from continuing care and acute care, as locations where there's a significant risk of transmission and severe outcomes if there should be an outbreak. In those settings, we are ensuring that follow-up takes place to mitigate and to manage outbreaks. However, in schools, again, we are taking the approach that an illness that fits that definition, respiratory illness, is treated the same way, whether it's someone who's diagnosed with COVID or not.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Why? Because, well, the teachers' unions like to have COVID days. Everybody needs a COVID day. Teachers in Canada even seem to be desperately scrambling for a way to make sure that they get back to remote learning as quickly as possible. Look, commuting sucks. Everybody understands commuting sucks. Nobody likes it. That not everybody has a way out of it. Not everybody can just go, eh, whatever. Whatever. Dude, come on, man. Eddie isn't here today. Well, Eddie's grandparents are in town. Yeah, but he's probably dying of COVID, too. So we'll count that. What could possibly go wrong? Somewhere, I bet, in Canada, there's federal dollars or provincial dollars tied to having high COVID rates in your school. All right, well, there you go. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other thing. But this is insane. I say it all the time because it's true. The way we're collecting information and bastardizing the data that exists and not counting and seemingly disinterested in it is the only way, really, to ensure that we learn absolutely nothing from this. There will be another pandemic. There will be another pandemic. It's not breaking news. I'm not hoping you're sitting down as you hear that because it's common sense. There have been pandemics throughout all of human history. There will be pandemics throughout all of human history. We can learn some things. Now, from the Spanish flu in 1918, it's not the best record keeping, all right? And it certainly hasn't been digitized. So you can't really search it as easily. So we have some of it, but not all of it. So you can't really draw a lot of conclusions. You can draw some. But now we live in the digital age where everything is a scan and a barcode away and a push of a button and a this of a that and everything. And we will have done none of that because, well, if somebody died and they had cleared their throat before they died, count that as a COVID death. We just don't know. That's just better safe than sorry. No, you're making us sorry. Somebody died in a car accident, but they had COVID. Well, obviously, they probably died and then got into the car accident. So we'll count that. We'll count all of this stuff. You end up with an absurdity where you don't even really know the mortality rate. Everybody will claim to know the mortality rate, but nobody knows the mortality rate because nobody knows who actually died of this thing and who died with this thing and who died, as the CDC said, of something else, but with symptoms of COVID. That's their standard. It's still the standard. If you die, if somebody is showing any symptoms, and now the symptoms are as much as a headache, a cough, difficulty breathing. I don't know if you've ever been around anybody as they pass away. It's a horrible experience. I don't recommend it. But everybody dying has difficulty breathing. Doesn't really matter what they're dying of. So if you really wanted to pad the numbers, you can pad the numbers. And hospitals can pad the numbers with a bonus. They get extra money from the federal government for treating particularly Medicare and Medicaid patients who also had COVID. So yes, maybe they died of multiple gunshot wounds, but they might have lived through those multiple gunshot wounds had they not had COVID or something like that. It's absurd. It makes no sense whatsoever to you and me. But Democrats understand this. They empower the government, be they in Canada, be they in the United States, be they in New Zealand, Australia, anywhere in Europe, Asia, doesn't matter. Bureaucrats want power. Democrats, progressives want power in this country. And they're getting it. Getting it. And they're making it up as they go along. We're going to create a false emergency by firing a whole bunch of workers. And then we're going to count a whole bunch more things. We don't know are COVID or not, but we're counting it anyway. And that will then allow us to perpetuate the state of emergency. Do you feel like you're in a state of emergency? Doesn't feel like when I went to Philadelphia over the weekend on Saturday, or King of Prussia, it didn't feel like a state of emergency when you got thousands of people looking at baseball cards. I don't know how much it works on some people, certainly. But other people are not petrified, living in fear of it. And I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but the sports card collector community, as it were, not exactly, you know, adjacent from the Mr. Fit contest. Just saying. A lot of fatties there. Just saying. I want to shift gears here and talk about spending, because, you know, everybody loves spending, right? No, everybody hates spending, but it's why we have $30 trillion in debt. I want to bring you in the Wayback Machine to 2.5 years ago. Two and a half years ago. January 18th, 2018. It's a different time. Things were different. Hairstyles were different. Joe Biden still could string together a semi-coherent sentence occasionally. Nancy Pelosi there. She was not the Speaker of the House. Not yet. And we were facing a government shutdown. And Nancy Pelosi took to her Twitter account. Not really. Somebody on staff. You really think Nancy Pelosi has the first idea what Twitter is? She's never gotten over somebody dropping a house on her sister. So she doesn't know what the hell Twitter is. She's always upset and angry. And although she always looks surprised. I can't imagine why. Can you figure out why Nancy always looks surprised? Anyway, she tweeted out the following on that day. Quote, "This is the first time in recent memory that a government shutdown has been possible when one party has controlled the White House, House, and Senate. Republicans own that. Hashtag do your job." Now, we're facing a government shutdown. There's one party that has control of the White House, the House, and the Senate. That is Democrats. But they are having difficulty figuring out a way to keep government funded because they do need Republican votes. By the way, it was Democrats who helped block Republicans from being able to continue to keep government open. I don't have a problem with government being shut down, aside from the fact that after it's shut down, it always reopens. That's my biggest problem. But to sit there and watch all of this stuff come, it's like Democrats exist in this weird world where history starts today. It starts new every day. What was that movie called? Not Quick Change. There was, and it wasn't Opportunity Knox. Blank Slate, I think it was called. Dana Carvey played a guy, and he suffered a closed head injury or something, and every day he woke up, he had a new, he had no memory of what happened the day before. No memory of what happened before. And it's kind of like 50 First Dates. It'd be a more current reference where you wake up and everything from before was wiped clean. That's how Democrats live. That's where they live. That's who they are. And of course, in both of those movies, the person who suffered this had a closed head injury, which tells you that Democrats really have to have had a serious closed head injury to be a Democrat. No offense to Democrats, but, you know, seek professional help. But the idea that Nancy Pelosi's in there going, well, Republicans, they own this. This is all them. You will now see Democrats blame Republicans. Why? Because Republicans will not vote to increase the debt ceiling, at least not with some concessions from Democrats. You've got to understand what Democrats are proposing to do through reconciliation. They are proposing to spend $3.5 trillion. They are proposing to do what Joe Biden describes as fundamentally transforming the relationship between the population and the government, which is, you know, a shocking admission, but true, that is basically remaking and making more and more people government dependent. They call it help, but it is government dependency. Republicans have leverage here. They need to use it. You need 60 votes in the Senate to pass this stuff, to raise the debt ceiling. If you don't raise the debt ceiling, you can't continue to spend like a drunken sailor. You can't continue on any of this path that Democrats have set us down. But the same thing was true, by the way, in 2018. Democrats had to get on board. They had to court Democrats to come on board to raise the debt ceiling. Eventually they did. I forget what they offered them and what they gave them in exchange for it. But It is amazing to me that Nancy Pelosi now will try to change, and the media will try to change the narrative from what Nancy said. Oh, it's just one party controls. Why can't they do this? Why can't they do that? It's also amazing to me and sad, perfectly honest. This just occurred to me. Looking at Nancy Pelosi's tweet, it is, for it to be believed, it requires an incredible amount of ignorance on behalf of the American public. Really, ignorance of how their government works. To think that you can get away with that and not have any consequences, no big deal, is a testament to just how little faith the leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives have in public education, have in the American people, in their knowledge of how government works. To even try this, well, it's all Republicans. They control everything. And now the government's being shut down. This is on them. This is all on them. Meanwhile, you know you need 60 votes in the Senate. You know you need 60 votes in the Senate. She knows how the Senate works. She's been around since the earth cooled. She knows exactly how this stuff goes. She's counting on her followers to not know and for them to run out and spread the word to other people. I mean, it worked in the election later on that year. Democrats took back the House of Representatives, made her speaker of it. Never underestimate how far you can get counting on the ignorance of the American public, apparently. But it is a testament to just how nasty and how little regard she holds the American public in to do this. So now that Republicans have this position where they are the ones who can hold up the debt ceiling, Democrats can't ram through anything, the debt ceiling. I suppose they could pass bills, but they can't be implemented. The government will be shut down. The government won't be, depends, really. The government won't be able to pay its bills. Government will have to shut down non-essential workers, which, again, would be a pretty good list of people to send pink slips to if you're a non-essential government worker and looking to save money in government. But it's a complete and total mess. And it's partially over this massive spending bill, this massive $3.5 trillion spending bill. And you've heard that number. You've heard that number since the Democrats introduced it, since Joe Biden threw the gauntlet down. It was originally $5 trillion. And you think, oh, well, they've shaved off $1.5 trillion. No, no. They broke off $1.5 trillion. That is the quote-unquote bipartisan infrastructure bill that actually deals with infrastructure. You talk about roads and bridges. That's what that bill does. That's the one they can all agree on. Then the $3.5 trillion, the remaining $3.5 trillion from the $5 trillion, is now its own bill. And that's what Democrats call human infrastructure. That's things like subsidizing daycare, subsidizing everything you want, free college, the Green New Deal, all of the left-wing fever dreams that they have been wishing and hoping for, sweating up their beds over. Well, now they've got it all in one bill. Won't be able to pay for that unless you can raise the debt ceiling, even though you'd think Democrats would be able to, because they've been lying to you. And they've really got this amazing lie. And it's a testament to the power of the hive mind. They are the Borg, the left are, when it comes to messaging. They're all on the same page. Doesn't matter if you're in the media or if you are an elected Democrat. Wherever you may lay your hat is your home, but your soul is always in the Democratic Party. And they are running around telling people that it does not cost $3.5 trillion. No, no, no. It's not $3.5 trillion. It costs actually nothing. Somehow you're going to get $3.5 trillion of so-called benefits for the low, low price of nothing. The hell, you know, if you could negotiate that kind of deal, why don't you go offer to take care of our debt, right? Wipe out. I'm sure if you can negotiate getting $3.5 trillion worth of stuff for nothing, you ought to be able to negotiate with our creditors to get that down to zero, too. I mean, you just pull unicorn tears out of your butt and go, well, there you go. The most valuable thing in the world. Listen, this is, we have a couple of clips here. Back to back to back. First is Congresswoman Premia Jayapal. She is the chairwoman, chair frog, however you want to put it, of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. And she insists here, like this thing that's $3.5 trillion, it doesn't actually cost anything. It's paid for. It's paid for.
As I said to the president, I heard him say, this is a $0 bill because it's all going to be paid for with taxes on the wealthiest corporations and the wealthiest individuals.
It's all going to be paid for. Look, this is a $0 bill. My God, it's $0. It's just going to be zero. Well, of course, the tax hikes would have no impact whatsoever on the economy or on the economic behavior of those companies. It would just, everything would continue on as normal, except we'd magically have $3.5 trillion. Well, if you magically have $3.5 trillion, you could give like every household like $60,000. You really want to help people. There you go. But they won't do that because how does that empower them? Next, we have Catherine Rempel. We heard this yesterday, but it's worth repeating in isolation. From the Washington Post, where she is a columnist on economics, and she is also a CNN contributor, because why not? She is, you know, not hideously ugly like Brian Stelter, so she gets a TV deal. Brian Stelter still remains a mystery how he gets a TV deal. She said basically the same thing. This doesn't cost anything. It's there's no cost whatsoever.
Why is that 3.5 trillion figure misleading?
Because it doesn't really represent anything. It's this weird shorthand that's been used, but in fact, the bill itself will not cost $3.5 trillion in the sense that it will be entirely or at least partly paid for. So the actual cost in terms of deficits will be smaller than that, perhaps even zero, although I think that's unlikely.
It might be zero. Probably not. But it won't be $3.5 trillion. Who cares? It's paid for through tax hikes. What could possibly go wrong? Let's just do it. Government estimates on the price tags of bills are always accurate anyway. Don't we know that? It's so stupid to even try and argue this, that people would put their credibility on the line, their reputations on the line, their names on the line, like running around going, this doesn't cost anything. It costs $3.5 trillion. Well, but it doesn't cost anything. It's so bizarre to me. Next, we have Ginger Goebbels. That she would do it doesn't surprise me. How she can live with herself, I don't know. She must have removed every reflective surface from her house so that she doesn't have to look at herself. That's the only way I imagine she can sleep at night. Just the other day, she said this.
This package, the reconciliation package, would cost $0. So what I'm saying, the case we're making here is that there needs to be agreement on the different components. There's broad agreement on the goals.
Yeah, it'll cost $0. Zero. My God. Could you come over and negotiate a mortgage for me, Ginger Goebbels? Can you do that? Look, we've got an offer in on this house. Somebody's offering full price. But the Hunter family is offering $0. Now, I'm no financial whiz, but I got to advise you. I think that the $0 offer is probably the better one for you. Just in your situation, I think that taking $0 for your house is better than taking full asking price. That's just me. I'm just throwing that out there. It's insane. And yet they get away with it. It's not like there was, you know, one tweet from Donald Trump would be the subject of 15 questions at a press briefing. And they'd be drilling into it, semantics. Well, the origin of the word that he used is from ancient Greece. And in ancient Greece, it meant this, that, and the other thing. So how do you defend? And like, what? They killed Socrates. So what? That was the tone. Now it's, well, this will cost $0. And the reporters go, all right, is that zero? Do we use the number in AP style or do we just spell out zero? That's the extent of their curiosity now. And it all stems from the vacant-headed president of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. He started this. Well, he's one of the people who started this. Somebody came up with the original idea. I'm not sure Joe has had an original idea in his entire miserable life. But last week, Joe Biden said this.
We talk about price tags. It is zero price tag on the debt. We're paying. We're going to pay for everything we spend. So this, it's not, you know, people, understandably, well, you know, it started off at $6 trillion, now it's $3.5 trillion, now it's going to be $2.9. It's going to be zero.
It's going to be, wouldn't you trust him to balance your checkbook? Wouldn't you want to turn over your IRAs and 401ks to that guy? Well, that's really amazing. You've got this new math down, Joe. Please take complete responsibility for my financial health, won't you? It is nuts. It is stupid. It is ridiculous. It is a lie. It is a bald-faced lie. It's as bald as Joe Biden would be had he not gotten the hair plugs. That's how bald-faced of a lie it is. But he still goes on. He still goes on to say it, to spew it, to tell it. And unquestioningly, it's a zero. Zeros. Zeros on the debt. Well, if you can pull $3.5 trillion out of your butt, or you have some sort of unicorn that poops $3.5 trillion bills up in the back of the White House somewhere, maybe you should use those magical skills to pay down the debt. Huh? Maybe in a year when you're looking at a $6 trillion deficit because of profligate spending, you might want to get that under control. Because you can't say, I guess your body could be riddled with cancer. This is how the Democrats are doing. Your body's riddled with cancer. But you just got a manicure. And I said, look, it's the healthiest she's ever been. Like, what are you talking about, the healthiest she's ever been? She's dying of cancer. No. But look at those fingernails. If you just focus on the fingernails, she's probably the healthiest person on the face of the earth. Like, yeah, okay, but she's in a hospital bed. It's on life support. And you're obsessing about the high gloss of the fingernails. You see how perverted that is? No. It's probably the healthiest I've ever seen anybody. She's fine. Would you base a medical diagnosis on that? No, you wouldn't. Would you base an economic diagnosis with $30 trillion in debt staring at you because some senile old turd, sexual assaulter, is out there saying, this $3.5 trillion will cost nothing. There are no free lunches. The government is telling you there's free breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's a free midnight snack. There's free college. There's free this. There's free that. There's free other thing. I mean, if people believe these morons, I guess they get what they deserve. The problem is, if you want to blow a hole in your boat, that's one thing. Go ahead and sink it. But we're all on this Titanic. That's the problem. Jump overboard. Don't blow up the boat. I don't care if you jump overboard. I want to go across the pond for a second, as a matter of fact. It's just to illustrate the absurdity of the modern left. It is, God help us all if we ever get to this point, but we're pretty damn close. We are pretty damn close. The new leader of the Labour Party over in the UK, UK's just a mess. New leader of the Labour Party over in the UK is a guy named Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer. And he was asked the other day about the number of, well, it's about the trans issue. Because I don't understand what it is in people that need external validation for their existence. I am a heterosexual man. I've always been a heterosexual man. I've never felt the need to march into an office, into a room, into a meeting, into anything and say, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I am attracted to. And this is the genitals that I have. This is who I am. And celebrate me. Celebrate me. No. No thanks. It's just I am. If you don't like that about me or anything about me, I couldn't care less. And it's a healthy way to live. I recommend it to everybody because otherwise you're going to run around and try and seek the approval of all sorts of people who will never give it to you. And you'll be ceding, more importantly, you'll be giving them the power to ruin your day, ruin your week, ruin your life. It's insane how these people are. So the chair, like I said, they used to have a wild anti-Semite named Jeremy Corbyn as the leader of the Labour Party in the UK. And he hated himself some Jews. He made AOC, he would have been a member of the squad if he were in the U.S. Just hated him. He literally was like rooting openly for Hamas. And they realized after, I don't know, it only took him 10 or 15 years of continual electoral losses that they said, well, maybe we should try a different direction. So they got this new guy. And now their wokeness is ruining them again, but the absurdity of reality. I guess there's no other way to put it. They have a member of the Labor Party named Rosie Duffield. Right now, they're all hypersensitive. They're all crazy. This story out of the UK is nuts. Emily Thornberry has backed the Labour leader's stance in a row over whether only women have cervixes. When a story starts off with that sentence, where do you go with it? What, you're down the rabbit hole. You're literally in Wonderland. The shadow trade secretary, they have all these shadow ministers. It's basically the government in exile if the other party had won. The shadow trade secretary said it was, quote, factually inaccurate to make the claim that some trans men and non-binary people also have cervixes. It comes after Labour MP supported online criticism of a tweet referring to individuals with a cervix. Now, the leader of the Labour Party made a tweet referring to people as individuals. Now, over here, we have birthing persons. Right? It's the same thing, but it's over in the UK. Over there, they have a media that looks at this and goes, my God, this is insane. They at least have enough media that looks at this and goes, my God, what is wrong with these people? That they ask these people about this. Rosie Duffy was called transphobic by trans rights supporters, but she has rejected the claim. I love that. She's rejected the claim. Oh, well, then it must not be. I didn't realize she rejected the claim. Asked about the incident on Sunday, Sir Keir, that is the leader, Keir Starmer, he's also knighted, said it was not right to say only women have a cervix and called for a mature, respectful debate around the issue. There is no, he's not calling for a debate. He's saying she's wrong. They're not saying that, like, and we should figure out who's right or we should figure out where. It's she's wrong. Shut up. We should have a calm, respectful debate with those transphobes. This is their own party. I love it when the leftists say, we need a nice, rational debate. No, that you just declared the other side to be irrational, full of hate. And like now you want a rational debate? He added, quote, we need to bear in mind that the trans community are amongst the most marginalized and abused communities. By whom? By where? What are you talking about? Where do they come up with this? Marginalized. What does marginalized mean? They never define it. What does abused mean? Abused communities. Well, the trans community in the United States, which is weird that you could be in a community with somebody who lives 3,000 miles away just because they choose to dress like you and suffer from a similar delusion. But hey, that's neither here nor there. To sit there and go, well, we need to worry about this trans community. We must worry about their delicate sensibilities. All of their delicate sensibilities in the world are never going to change the fact of biology. There are people who are allergic to sunlight. That doesn't change day into night. Reality is reality, period. Whether you like it or not, whether it's convenient or not, it is. Now, another politician, this audio is brilliant. She is the shadow minister for the interior, I believe. Her name is Rachel Reeves of the Labour Party. She appeared on the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and was asked about this in a fairly, well, it's in a serious manner, mostly because they have British accents. But he's not mocking it. I'm not sure I could ask a serious question about this issue without mocking it roundly. But this guy gets credit for asking the question. And you will hear somebody, I have two clips. The first one is the shorter of the two. You will hear somebody who desperately doesn't want to answer this question, who has no idea what, like, probably wondering, as committed of a progressive leftist as you could possibly imagine. Labour Party, you don't get into the leadership of the Labour Party without those credentials. But she doesn't want to discuss this. She knows this is a loser. But she also doesn't know, like, she hasn't given this a lot of thought, because why would anybody waste their time thinking about this garbage? Yet she has to give something because she's on live TV. And she dances around. It's beautiful, beautiful thing. Listen to the first cut here.
I wonder if I can start. And we've talked about many things down the years, Rachel Reeves, but I have to put it to you, the same question that was put to the party leader. Is it transphobic to say only women have a cervix? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and it's great to talk to you.
Good to have you on.
I just think that this issue has just become so divisive and toxic, and it pits people against each other, both groups who face discrimination in society, women and trans women. And I just find this debate incredibly unhelpful and unproductive, to be totally honest. At this conference, I want to speak about issues.
Now, I want to speak about issues. It's totally horrible. It brings in both groups, women and trans women. Well, wait a second. I thought trans women were women. It's hard to keep up. But I was reliably assured by screaming college leftists that trans women were women. Why are there two separate groups? How do you separate women from women? And oh, by the way, a trans woman is a man, right? That's a dude who says, no, I'm a woman. Now you're a trans woman. You don't have a cervix. Hate to break it to you, bro. You don't. You don't have to get screened for cervical cancer. It's not going to be an issue for you. You might want to watch out for testicular cancer. Just saying, sister. It's rough out there. But you're not going to get cervical cancer. So realistically, she's already offended everybody because what she should have said is we're separating this issue deals with women and trans men. Trans men, if you believe in that level of insanity and stupidity, if you're following along your slide rule, the trans men are the quote-unquote men who have cervix, right? And then there's the whole non-binary people who just seem to want to correct people. They just ticked off at, I don't know, their mother didn't love them enough, their father didn't love them enough, and they just go, no, I am neither. I am neither male nor female. And it's just, it's a good cover story for people who just can't get dates. You're 22 years old and you've never kissed anybody? That's because I'm non-binary. Yeah, no, I don't. It has nothing to do with bad hygiene and a horrible personality. My general piss poor attitude toward everything. No. It's the British dental system. And that I am pansexual or non-sexual, whatever. I'm the one that that doesn't care about such things. Anyway, why? Do you know somebody? This is insane. They're actually arguing about it, and the liberal gets it wrong. And I get it right. I'm the one who corrects it. The host didn't even notice that this person is being wildly wrong. So then Rachel Reeves, of the Labour Party, she continues because the host, to his credit, says that's a really interesting dodge. You're not really addressing the issue. So I'll repeat the question. Do men have cervixes? And she, you're going to hear some world-class, like Mel Tillis impersonations. If there's a deep dive reference, Stutter and John. There isn't anybody in society who stutters except for those two people that I know. Joe Biden, I suppose, but it's just senility they say is stuttering. Anyway, listen to it.
That affect people, whatever their gender and whatever their sexuality.
And we will get to those, I assure you. But is it transphobic, yes or no?
Is it transphobic? I don't even know how to start answering these questions. I just don't find them.
The party
helpful.
Leader suggests it is. So what do you as Shadow Chancellor say?
I think that people should be able to identify with the gender that they feel comfortable with.
Respectfully, Shadow Chancellor, that wasn't my question. My question is it transphobic to say only women have a cervix?
I wouldn't say that.
Why is that?
Because if somebody... why are we having to discuss parts of women's anatomy
on the radio? Because one of your colleagues feels unable to attend your conference.
And she should feel safe attending our conference. But I don't feel comfortable talking about women's anatomies and different parts of women's bodies with you, Nick, or frankly with anybody else. But if somebody identifies as a woman and a man, or a man, they should be able to do so, whatever their body parts are.
She has no idea what the hell she's saying. Just like, why are we talking about... Yeah, just answer the question. Now, these are people who would pass judgment on you in a heartbeat if you'd said the wrong thing. You use someone's incorrect pronoun. If you use a pronoun that is real rather than whatever it is that some leftist declared themselves to be, you know, I'm a spike through the face pronoun because that's my pronoun, spike through the face, because I've got 17 spikes through my face and I'm neck tattoo when it's plural. Yeah. If you actually say, she doesn't like, then suddenly you've committed a hate crime. And these people would jump down your throats and go, oh my God, how can you do this thing? We need to lose your job. You're a monster. Look at the blow you've done to the self-esteem, not only of this person, but the entire weird, screwed up community is beyond reproach. And it's unbearable. And I'm embarrassed to be associated with you. These people are nuts. These people are insane. It's also kind of fun to watch, but let's be honest, they are insane. What he was talking about, by the way, the one member who was afraid to attend the their annual conference was the Duffield woman. She will likely be expelled from the party, I'd imagine, very soon, because she is the one who says that men should not be able to identify as women, to go into locker rooms, to go into gymnasiums, to go into prison. It shouldn't, you should not be. She says she's, quote, completely supportive of trans rights, but she has been condemned by some LGBT plus groups who say trans men and women should be treated the same as biological men and women. And two of her staff members resigned from her office over her views. She's from Canterbury. She regularly uses social media to outline her own position on transgender issues, especially around the debate around the Gender Recognition Act. See, liberals everywhere. Progressives are progressives everywhere, and they're pushing this crap everywhere. So some groups, this according to the BBC, some groups are calling for the medical diagnosis element of the process to change gender to be scrapped in England and Wales, allowing people to self-identify. You used to have to get a doctor to say, all right, yeah, not anymore. Or that's what they want. But Ms. Duffield believes that biological females should have protected spaces where biological males are not allowed to go, such as domestic violence refuges and prisons. And she is against people being able to self-identify as trans to gain access to those spaces. Now, if you're looking at a rational-ish middle-of-the-road position, I'm certainly not it. It used to be live and let live. I don't give a damn. Just if I catch you standing in the bathroom next to my daughter, look out. But now it's this position that she's saying is fine, whatever you want, just you don't get to go to prison with a whole bunch of women, Mr. Penis Haver, and you don't get to go to domestic abuse shelters because you might be the abuser. That is fringy to the point that staff is resigning. This is across the pond, but this mentality infects everything. Go online for a few minutes, and they're a minority, a distinct minority, but a vocal minority. I saw something the other day, the recount. These leftists at the recount. It's a left-wing video site. It's heavily funded by Showtime. If you have Showtime, you're subsidizing this garbage. They were mocking up in Massachusetts on the COVID front. Dozens of state troopers have resigned rather than get the vaccine that is mandated for them. And the recount was mocking it. They said, you've heard of the silent majority, but this is more like a very loud few. And they said, dozens in caps. Now, first of all, there are only 1,500 uniformed police state police officers in Massachusetts. So dozens, depending on how many dozens, can be rather significant. Good luck filling those spots. But the leftists don't give a damn about that. But then look at what the left is doing. This trans issue, any trans issue, is maybe at best, hundreds in any particular issue. Nationwide, not in one particular city. And we are supposed to change how we talk. We are supposed to change how we are. We're supposed to rearrange our prisons, our penal system, everything about life in general. We are supposed to bow to the whims of demented, mentally deficient people because they just made up a pronoun that day that they thought of and said, I'm now a Star Trek sexual and my pronouns are Spock and Kirk. And we're all supposed to go, well, there you go. I shall call you Spock and Kirk from now on. No. Hell no. Absolutely not. So forgive me if you sit there and you say, this is just one thing. No, this is everything. We're fighting over the language. We're fighting over reality. We're fighting over biology, none of which is in dispute. It's just that the left is insisting it is. And they happen to have power right now. A very, very vocal, violent minority. dangerous, dangerous people. Lastly here, I want to play a couple of clips if we can sneak them in. This one is Ginger Goebbels talking about the taxes, that because they want to raise taxes on everybody. And Ginger Goebbels here is very upset. She says that any company that passes on, because you know what happens if you raise taxes on a company, the company doesn't pay taxes. You pay taxes for their products. They raise the price of their products. Just like if you raise the price of the goods and services that they use to build their product, they're going to have to raise the price. You raise taxes, it's the same thing. Ginger Goebbels says that it's unfair and absurd that any company would dare pass on the taxes to their customers. You have no idea how economically illiterate these people are.
I want to ask you about what Republicans are pointing to in the analysis from the Joint Committee on Taxation. Mm-hmm. They say, according to, if I've read the chart correctly, more than 16% of taxpayers would see their taxes increase under the bill that's approved by the House Ways and Means Committee. Will the president sign that bill as it is coming out of that committee, or will he insist on the changes so that he will maintain his commitment that taxes won't go up on people making $400,000 a year?
I have not looked at the document or the report that you have put out. Obviously, the president's, or that you have referenced, I should say, that the Republicans put out. Obviously, the president's commitment remains not raising taxes for anyone making less than $400,000 a year. There are some, and I'm not sure if this is the case in this report, who argue that in the past, companies have passed on these costs to consumers. I'm not sure if that's the argument being made in this report. We feel that that's unfair and absurd, and the American people would not stand for that. But I will.
Yeah, no. It'd be unfair and absurd that a company that's, you know, barely breaking even, that's barely making a profit, that then will see that profit devoured by the federal government tax hike. It would be unfair for them to go ahead and pass that cost on to consumers. They're insane. These people have no idea what the hell goes on in the real world because none of them ever worked in the real world. None of them ever. And you got Ginger Goebbels there. Lastly, we got Ginger Goebbels' boss, Joe Biden, getting his booster shot. He got his booster shot yesterday. And he was asked about herd immunity. When are we going to get there? And this guy has no clue what the hell he's talking about whatsoever. Nothing. Not even a little bit of a clue. It's kind of scary.
How many Americans need to be vaccinated for us to go back to normal? What is the percentage of total vaccinations that have to be deployed?
Well, I think, look, I think we get the vast majority, like is going on in some industries and some schools, 97-98%. I think we're got awful close. But I'm not the scientist. I think, but one thing for sure, a quarter of the country can't go unvaccinated, and that's not continue to have a problem.
If I'm not the scientist, I don't know. Oh, geez. 97, 98%. Herd immunity is, what, 70%, 80%, 90, 97, 98, 99. Can I get 112%? I mean, hell, that's what some districts showed in turnout to vote for Joe Biden. Why can't we vaccinate all of those people? We're being led over a cliff by morons. That's all the time we have. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.
Is it transphobic, yes or no?
Look, is it transphobic? Look.